T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
All right, welcome back. Thank you, Jad. We got Chambers running the show back at our intercom studios. Well, today would have been, could have been, first day of the Masters. And watched a little bit of the final round of the Golden Bear winning his sixth and last yesterday, a replay on ESPN.
So did I. Yeah, it was fun to watch.
That was a pretty good watch.
It was cool.
And a guy that's been to Augusta, and we'll talk about that in just a second, but Brent Maycock rejoins the show. He's from the Capital Journal in Topeka, high school beat reporter for that publication. We say good morning to Brent. Hopefully you're well, Brent. How are you?
I'm doing all right. You know, it's a tough world without sports to live in, but it's better to be living than that. So
yeah,
hanging in there, isn't that the truth?
doing well and just trying to get through this this tough time like everybody else.
Now, first, I want to ask you about the preps. Of course, high school basketball, the state tournament was going on when it was abruptly stopped. Just some of your reaction, the reaction of the players, coaches, or whoever you are around when word came down that, all right, this is it. We're going to have to complete or end the state tournament without actually crowning a champion. What were your reactions?
Well, I was a little surprised because we had had a meeting earlier in the day with the with some representative from the Activity Association. They had somebody at each site just to visit with the media, and you could talk about a variety of subjects. And, you know, one of the things obviously we were talking about is would the state tournaments continue with the coronavirus outbreak and everything going on. And at that point, they said, you know, we were going to try to do everything possible to get these tournaments done. And then, you know, it's a matter of, you know, 7-8 hours later, the plug gets pulled on the tournament. So that was a little disappointing, just in the sense that you thought that we were going to maybe try to get through it and get this thing done. And with everybody kind of already at their sites, you felt like you really weren't going to be adding a whole lot more people. You know, you might get a few fans from teams that had advanced to the semifinals and then maybe to the championship game. But some of their hand was forced too with playing at Wichita State and playing at Kansas State. You know, when those colleges pulled the plug on having their facilities available, then you got to look at moving two of the tournaments to different sites and, you know, finding a school, a high school big enough to host something like that and willing to host, you know, just became up too much of a challenge. And so, you know, that was part of the decision. And the other obviously was the health and safety of the fans, players, coaches, and officials. So, yeah. You know, it was a huge disappointment. I didn't like the way it was announced. It kind of became known, you know, midway through the last game or even before some of the last games started.
Yeah, like at halftime, you know, in a couple of cases.
Yeah, and so like some of these coaches knew that they were coaching, and you know, you're still doing your job, but your mind has to be distracted a little bit, knowing that, you know, we can go win this game, but what, you know, other than ending our season with a victory. You know, what exactly does it mean? So, yeah. I mean, it put some coaches in tough spots because they knew and their players didn't. And you try to coach the game the same way, but I'm sure it was affected a little bit. But it was, it was just a bad, bad deal.
Yeah, no question. And we're still dealing with it and the layers of it, obviously. But the pure momentum, once the Rudy Gobert thing broke, and then the NBA ended up shutting down right before the Jazz and Thunder, and the dominoes that started to fall. there was some inevitability even to the high school ranks. All of a sudden college tournaments are being canceled, places are being shut down. I guess there had to have been a certain feeling of inevitability that this might be coming even for the high schools.
Oh, yeah, I think once in fact, let's just go ahead and nickname Rudy Gobert Domino from now on, because he's the guy that kind of pushed all these pieces down. So, once, and it happened so fastly. I mean, it was just so quick with everything. It was just, that one domino was a huge domino that hit a bunch of dominoes and that just scattered immediately. I mean, it was so fast the way it all transpired. All the college, all the professionals, boom, canceled. All the college tournaments, boom, canceled. And then I think the thing that was just frustrating for the high schools is you kind of saw it coming, but when you saw other states doing what they could to continue their state tournaments, some playing without fans, some saying, let's wait and see. I think that was the thing that was most frustrating. There weren't a whole lot of states that just went out and flat out canceled their tournaments in the middle of them. If they had started, they kind of were like, let's just go ahead and finish. Other ones, they maybe canceled before they started just because they're on a different time schedule than Kansas was. Some said they were going to postpone, and I'm sure those obviously ended up getting canceled as well. But I think it was just the fact that we were right in the middle of it, and everybody felt like, hey, we're already here. If we've been exposed, if we're going to get exposed, we've been exposed. Let's just try to finish these things out for the players. And that was, I think that was what made it so tough, is you started something, and anytime you start anything in life, you want to finish it. Right. I mean, that's just sure. Kind of what you've been, if you've been taught and raised right, that's what, that's what you're taught. If you start a job, you finish it. If you start a task, you finish it. Don't quit in the middle. And that just kind of what it felt like, I think, to the athletes and coaches and fans.
Yeah.
And there was at least one – well, there's a myriad of stories because there are so many levels of state championships in Kansas. But at the 6A level, you had an unbeaten team that was winning games by alarming margins in campus that was I guess I would have liked to have seen how that played out and what the conversation might have been about that basketball team relative to other champions of the past. That was something rather that I felt a little bit cheated on. Mm-hmm. Not to say that would have won it, but they were clearly the favorites to win in 6A.
Yes and no. I mean, I think Blue Valley Northwest still earns the right to be called the favorite, being the multiple defending champions. Their only losses came to out-of-state teams, so they didn't lose to a team in Kansas all season. And to me, if you're the champion, that somebody's got to prove they can beat you in that kind of situation. And for campus, as great a season as they had, that was kind of their first go round at a stage that high. And Blue Valley Northwest had a lot of players that have been on that stage for a number of years, winning titles back to back, and just being a part of that program that's won so many here in the recent era. So I think that would have been an incredible championship game to see, one that really would have brought out a lot of just basketball fans, not necessarily fans of their schools, just people that wanted to go see some great basketball at the highest level. And that, I think that would have been an excellent championship game, one, possibly for the ages type of deal, when you're talking about, a campus team having a historic season against the team that could right now be called the best program in the state.
Brent Maycock joining us from the Topeka Capital Journal. I don't want to just gloss over something you said a minute ago, Brent. Let's get back to that. The campus sites on college, Wichita State, K-State, that was going to, whether Keisha decided to go forth and let's finish what we did start here, Brent, logistically, we would have had to change venues for a couple of these places, right? Because it would have been mandated because the university was shut down. You're not going to have any kind of activity on campus, isn't that right?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, they basically, Keisha had their hands tied with the university decisions to close their campuses completely. I think there at one point there was talk that they were going to maybe allow them to have the tournaments with no fans in the tournaments. But once that was not a reality, then Keisha just really, hamstrung. And so that kind of goes back to the thing about, the long standing debate about should we have six different sites for our state high school tournaments? Shouldn't we maybe try to play them a little bit more, two or three at the same site, or play all the boys at one site, all the girls at another site, or something like that? And, you know, if we were in that kind of mode, then maybe we could have gotten through these state championships.
Brent Baycock,
well, you don't
us.
Get any argument from me there, I'll tell you that much. I'm a long-standing advocate of putting championships in one building.
Football,
or,
too, right,
like
Bruce?
You say, in two. Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, not even a question absolutely. About it. I think the Kansas State High School Activities Association really misses out. I mean, all they need to do is look at the model that they've got, Brent, for track and field, which is one of the great events that I've been to anywhere in the country for high school sports. And I mean one of the best. It is a celebration of the sport. Everybody is there. It's the whole state coming together. It's just a fantastic few days there at Cessna Stadium. And why in the world they ignore that model for football, but especially basketball, in a basketball-centric state where you could just have a Mongo championship weekend at Interest Bank Arena, or, you know, you figure out the facility, but Wichita would probably make the most sense. But anyway, that's not something rather they've ever done, and I, for the life of me, cannot understand why. It makes absolutely no sense, but, you know,
absolutely. I mean, especially the way the Activity Association touts the state outdoor as their kind of showcase event of the year. I mean, they are extremely proud of it because, hey, we're getting every level of class in Kansas together. If you want to go see, you know, all the best shot putters in Kansas, you can do that. If you want to see, you know, anything track related, you're going to get it there. And they tout that so much. And it's like, yeah, so let's take that thinking and apply it to other sports. You know, we used to have a situation where football would at least play two championships at the same site. You know, 6A and 5A used to rotate between Manhattan and Lawrence and play in those stadiums. And 3A and 2A were out at Hayes, and you could, you know, watch those together. And then 4A, I think, had its own separate site. But, you know, so there is some kind of history, at least, on that, where having multiple championships at the same place on the same day. And I just think it makes a lot of sense, especially nowadays in terms of media coverage. I mean, you know, most newspaper sites, newspapers are losing staff and short on staff, and the prep coverage is dwindling across the state. And you know, we're doing our best up here to keep it going, but I know it's a challenge for us as well, and it's a challenge for every newspaper in the state, and I'm sure other avenues of media are having the same kind of issues. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you're spread out to six sites, it's going to be hard to cover them. If you're spread to one or two sites, boy, you can really cover those things a lot easier and promote the student athletes that you service.
Yeah, another good point too. Brent Maycock from the Topeka Capital Journal joining us. All right, let's get to the real stuff. Today would have been the start of the Masters down in Augusta, and you have intimate knowledge of that place from having gone there. And perish the thought, you played golf there. Take us through the history of you being at Augusta, including playing there, and spare us no details, because I haven't been there. Bruce, I don't think, has been there, and so many of us haven't had the chance to go to Augusta. Tell us all about it, Brent.
Well, the first time I actually went as a fan. A buddy of mine was able to win the lottery and got four tickets to a practice round. I believe it was the year Trevor Immelman might have won it. So it's back in the early 2000s that I got to go. And then when I started working at the Capital Journal, one of the guys I covered early on in his career in high school was Gary Woodland. And so as he escalated up the pro ranks, you know, we followed him. And part of my job up at the Capital Journal, in addition to high school writing, is I'm the golf writer. And so when he qualified for the Masters for the first time in 2011, both myself and former reporter Kevin Haskin, we're like, we got to get down there and go do it. So we got contacted them, and they said, oh, the deadline for credential submission was 2 months ago. And we're like, oh my gosh, how can we not be there when Gary plays his first Masters? And so we did some sweet talking, I don't know what we did. We had a bunch of people in our corner, and we were able to secure two press passes that season. So we both went down and covered Gary the first year in 2011. And then lo and behold, he makes it back 2012. And so like, all right, we'll go back. So we submitted our credential request, and they thought, well, we thought this was just a one-time deal. And we're like, well, we weren't sure if it would be, you know, you never know if a guy's going to get back to the Masters after being there one time. And so they said, well, we can allow one of you to come. And so me being the golf writer, I got to come, and I just keep submitting my press credential every year, and every year it's been granted since. So I've missed one year since 2011, and that's because my son was being born right around the April May time, and so I thought, well, I better not leave my wife here ready to give birth. And Gary didn't actually qualify that year, so it kind of made it an easy decision not to not to go that year. But so yeah, you know, this is the first year I haven't been down in Augusta in April in a long time.
Do you keep trying? Do you keep trying to win the lottery to get to play? How does that go? How did you get into that? I forgot the process of how you actually got to play after it was over with.
Yeah, so every year they do a drawing for the media, and they select 28 people out of the media, which the media in attendance down there, I would say, is between 250, 300, maybe even more people. Once you get in, you know, print and TV and radio, and there's a ton of foreign media that comes over. You sit in that press room and you hear broadcasts back to England and back to Japan and all this kind of stuff. And it's kind of neat flavor hearing, you know, all different sides of the world reporting on this. But so, like I said, they draw 28. And once you're picked, you can't go for another 7 years. Your name, you cannot enter it again for 7 years. So I've been every year I go down, I put my name in the hat, and it's kind of funny because the company that owns the Capital Journal also owns a paper down in Augusta, and now we own a bunch nationwide. So a lot of reporters from the newspaper chain go and stay, and they rent a house for us, and we're able to stay in this house. And almost every year, somebody in that house gets picked. And so we kind of run through most of the guys in the house, and they kept saying, it's your turn, it's your turn, it's your turn. And last year it was my turn, and I got picked. And boy, you want to talk about a wave of emotion once you find out you're actually going to get to do it. You know, it's like the anticipation of being drawn is so great, and then you get drawn, and it's still just like, wow, what just happened here?
Yeah. The ability to relate, once you get a golf club in your hands and you're out on that golf course, I would imagine it doesn't take long to appreciate the sheer magnitude of the challenge that these players have playing this golf course.
Oh yeah. I mean, the first thing is that I tell everybody is if you've never been to Augusta, you don't understand Augusta National, because you see it on TV, it looks like just another golf course with some rolling hills. And no, it has such severe elevation changes on that course that the TV just can't show that. It just can't show how that climb up number 18 is once you get out into that fairway, or number 10 when they're teeing off. You can ski down that pole. I mean, it's literally a ski slope that it goes just down like that. And so the elevation changes are the first thing that just strike you. It's like, oh my gosh. I mean, it's the toughest walk that they have on tour. It's without a doubt. And as a fan, when you go there, you get your exercise in for sure if you're walking that course, especially 4 or 5 days like we usually do. I usually go out there and, you know, I'm out there every day tromping around the course trying to get interviews or keeping tabs on whatever golfers I might be covering. So it is a physically demanding course in that. And I was glad I didn't have to carry my bag. I'm glad we had a caddy that could do that for us. And I asked those guys, I said, you ever put a Fitbit on and see how many miles you guys walk in a year? And one guy said he walked enough that he could have walked from Augusta National to Phoenix and back.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
That's amazing.
That's a lot of miles.
Yeah. Hey, Brent, we appreciate you taking some time. Good to look back at your memories of Augusta and, of course, the state championship games that weren't played. And Hopefully better things to come. Appreciate it, and stay well, Brent.
Yeah, absolutely. You guys too. Thanks.
All right, Brent Maycock.
Thanks, Brent.
From the Topeka Capital Journal. When we come back, to Cindy O'HRO Twitter question, plus I'm thrilled with the signing of a spare running back for the Kansas City Chiefs. I'll tell you why at the top of the hour. The Cindy O Twitter question is next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.